This is Hex from San Diego, California, representing Hip Hop Digest with King Killa, E. Green, and Kurt G. Kurt G. Kurt G. Kurt G. Kurt
Imagine G. Kurt if you guys G. never learned the internet. You understand what I'm saying? Like a lot of people, they don't, you know how it was. I don't deal with no internet. I don't do this and that, such, such, such. And then what happens is when opportunities come about, or, you know, stuff that they may have to do in life, they have no clue. They have no clue how to function in a society that's going to change whether you like it or not. You know, nothing gets in the way of progress. 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 Progress.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killa.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And it's E. Green. We here. What's up, brothers?
What's goody? What's goody?
Happy recording day, gentlemen.
Happy recording
day to you, sir.
All right. No doubt. So, we're going to keep it close to the soul this week.
You said so.
We're going to keep it close to the soul. No doubt. So,
Soul Train.
In any case, anybody got anything that's in the wild before I jump in?
Nah, let's get in there.
Okay, we're going to jump right in. Want to give a shout out to every last person that's in the text chain. I'm going to start the show off advertising. You are new and this is your first or second time listening to the Hip Hop Digest and you want to see the behind the scenes, the real junk, you know, the off-season meetings, as I call them, you got to get to the text chain. You got to go to the GroupMe app. And then I don't know how you get a hold of E. Color. In that shit,
but E Green 965 everywhere. Okay, Hollywood Greasy.
There you go. No doubt. You hook that up, and then you could get it in text chain, and then you really know what time it is.
Hip Hop Digest,
text right chain. There. Yep, there. Exactly. Hip Hop Digest text chain. Get in there.
So, first topic on the Hip Hop Digest is I got a text from E Green.
Uh oh.
Okay, I got a text. I'm going somewhere with this.
I thought you were going to get on your PE shit. I got a letter from the government the other day.
Shit, I'm just waiting to see if it's a bus coming or...
Nah, it ain't a bus coming because this is a setup right here. So I got a text from E. Green.
Setup.
who apparently got a text from his daughter. Shout to Taylor.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Letting E. Color know about the J Hope, the BTS rapper, I guess
your man's in them.
It's your man's in them. Yeah, J Hope from BTS and the J Cole new record. Okay?
J Cole was getting that BTS money.
So you're getting BTS Ooh. Money. It's all good though, right? So
yes, it is.
So my daughter who came to me later on that same day that I got the text from you and was like, "Dad, what do you know about J. Cole?" I was like, "Yeah, I know." I was like, "I know he got the new joint out there with J. Hope."
Oh, you were on top of it.
You was already on that.
I was already on it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I know about this.
So you know, so
I'm
my
still
daughter,
young. I'm still young.
So my daughter was significantly, she was impressed. You know, it was like, "Oh, okay,
you got some cool points, my nigga."
Yeah. So you know, we put the video on or whatever. You know, what I'm saying, you know, it's what it's doing, what it's supposed to do.
Oh, yeah. Shit, next thing you know, you're going to be on TikTok, son.
Doubt that.
You better get on before they take it away.
But in any case, this all did, you know, Egree's, you know, I'm setting this up. Now, here we go. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest, Joe Budden refers to J. Cole as a coon.
Wow.
For collaborating with BTS member J. Hope.
Wow.
A coon?
Coon.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Let me read it.
This dude is just falling further and further down into his own big ass hole.
Yeah, let me read some of the copy.
Please do. I don't see what's cooning about that.
Let me read some of the K-pop artists and the hip-hop artists. Song arrived March the 3rd to official music outlets and amassed over 14 million views in about 3 days. So you know they're getting paid.
That's a check.
Oh, yeah, please.
So you know they're getting paid, you know. And wow, I was way up on BTS Jimin.
Way back.
You were.
You was talking about BTS Jimin is bigger than the Maple Leaf.
Of course. Yep. And I was right. Okay. The retired rapper criticized Cole for working with what he called a jack-in-a-box album creator. All right. So, and goes on to say, and this is the part where he said that J. Cole is pandering. Can you believe he said that shit using no. Jack and R slang?
You know they listening.
Obviously. Man, he said J. Yeah. Cole is pandering, you know, and said that it was ridiculous.
Wow.
BTS is one of the most commercially successful music acts in the world. Okay. With six number one entries in the Billboard Hot 100. You know what I'm saying? J. Cole getting that money.
But he's cooning and pandering.
But he's cooning and pandering. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, so first of all, first of all, I don't want to get caught out there. And that's why I had to pause for a minute. I don't want to get caught out there. So let's say rapper Y or rapper X
right.
on this show. And let's say we get, I'm going to use somebody that's kind of underground, right? Let's just say, okay, out of nowhere. Let's say Royal Flush.
Royal Flush, he a dinosaur now.
Yeah, he's a dinosaur, but let's say that's why I picked him. Let's say Royal Flush, you know, gets on the Joan and he's like, yo, I got a new Joan. You know, Drake happened to be in Queens and we just hooked up. I got a Joan.
See, are we clowning Royal Flush?
Put it here, B. Okay. This is where that example is right down my alley.
My man.
Because it so fits. We would clown that nigga for messing with Drake because that's not what we're used to hearing from him. But we would clown him for messing with Drake. We wouldn't say he was a fucking coon. We would say he was pandering. We say the nigga's getting his fucking panda suit on. But we wouldn't call him a fucking coon. Now, is J. Cole pandering? Yes. I'll say that. I'll give him that. He can get a panda suit for that. He can get some socks, drawers, and some more shit for fucking with that shit. Because he's not considered a real hip-hop type of nigga. J-Hope. You don't hear him in hip-hop circles like that. So you people get pandering socks for that shit. But cooning? I don't see that.
All right, you said your piece, King Killer, got in before you start reading again. I got to tell you this shit right
here. Okay, go ahead.
First of all, until I know who reached out to who, I'm not calling it pandering or definitely not cooning. Second of all, because our daughters listen to that stuff, that just happened to be the one I sent you. But I get a lot of videos from them where she's trying to show me that they have a thirst and hunger for real hip hop. These BTS folks, all of them, they are what they are. They're the motherfucking Backstreet Boys on super mega steroids, human growth hormones, all that shit, right? But if they have what I've seen, what's been brought to my eyes, a love for real hip hop, not Drake and that kind of shit, not trap music, not drill, but actual hip hop lyrics and beats and all of that shit, then I can't be mad at J. Cole at all. especially after listening to the record, because like you said, it does what it does. It's not trying to be Public Enemy. It's not trying to be 50 Cent. It just is what it is. If you heard it without the dude on it, you would just think it's a J. Cole record, honestly.
Right.
So pandering and cooning is just not even in the vocabulary for me as far as this. I'm looking at Joe like, yo, B, do you just need the attention like that to say that kind of stupid shit?
Joe Budden was walking around his podcast with a whiteboard and wrote the word coon in big letters written on it.
He's clowning. That's clickbait, B.
So, yes. Now, I have the same experience.
That's currency, though. Clickbait is currency for these niggas.
But I had the same experience, and I'm going to double up on that. My daughter, as going through the album a little bit, your boy Anderson .Paak on the album.
Oh, is he pandering?
That's what I'm saying. Anderson .Paak on the album. She asked me what the original sample was, which happened to be ODB, Shimmy yes. Shimmy, on a track that they, you know, did over. So I ain't saying these motherfuckers is buying records and digging in the crates. But they clearly look like, well, the problem is, and it's not really a problem, is this what it comes across? They're doing that shit but they're having Maple Leaf success. You double up.
Is that their fault?
No, I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm just saying, but they're having Maple Leaf success double up. And so the point, let's get back to Joe Budden. We don't want to leave him out.
Oh, definitely.
Well, no. He's the reason why we're talking about this.
Right, exactly. Joe Budden's. Before we got into the show, we were talking about other podcasts and the very few African-American podcasts making money. Joe, and is he the only one of the money-making elite who can diss, just come straight out? Because he's got a history of this. I mean, it's not like he hasn't criticized the Maple Leaf. And it wouldn't be too far on him for throwing J. Cole under the bus, you know. But shit, I don't get it. I don't get it because I don't see Joe turning down checks if it was offered to him.
Right. That's where I had the issue at with cooning. Like, it's not cooning, my nigga. It's pandering at its best. If you can call it pandering, but cooning, no way.
And like E. Swerve said, really, if you close your eyes and you just listen to the record, it just sounds like a regular-ass J. Cole record.
That's not being disrespectful. That's just saying that it's more weighing on the side where he's not pandering. Because he didn't get on no goddamn country song and rap with country singers and so on.
Right.
I'm not calling J. Cole nothing. I'm looking at the man who started this shit. Like, come on, bro. Get some better topics. There's better topics out here.
Yeah, I agree. I'm agreeing 100 right now. Buttons, I just don't.
Especially at his level. Come on, man. Like, well, he's getting paid.
Yeah, he's getting paid.
He's getting paid, but he gets paid off of this type of bullshit. Just think about all the mileage he's about to get off of this shit. We're talking about it. So once all the J. Cole fans start smashing this nigga around, talking about you tripping, then he's gonna get, that's currency. Niggas is gonna go listen to what the fuck he said. They're gonna tune in. So views and fucking all this trolling and shit, all that shit's currency these days, B. All this,
he trying
bullshit
to get on that Charles Barkley shelf.
Ooh, jeez. Damn, not the Charles Barkley shelf.
He gonna end up there if he keeps it up.
Alright, good. Let's keep it rocking. Next topic on Hip Hop Digest is, you know, Snoop, when he bought Death Row, I'm thinking, okay, you know, he don't own any of the big shit, but he owns everything else. You know what I mean? All the Dre's and even his own records, the Tupac Jones. He don't own any of them Jones, but he does own Death Row. And I'm thinking, okay, let's get back to some music here. I'm kind of interested to see what can happen. Snoop Dogg gifts Ed Sheeran. Is that how you say that?
Sheeran.
And Russell Crowe gold chains from his record label worth $9,600 each. Now, okay, I know Snoop is a Hollywood guy, and okay, these are probably his friends, but God damn it, B, why don't you put out some Jones? Some music. I mean, that's, you know, put out some music. You fancy yourself a label owner, and then this is, now, Kurt G, explain this, my G. What kind of shit is this? How about putting out some music?
He ain't putting out music. He already got the music there. I guess he's going to put out some compilation shit, I guess, eventually with all the shit that's on there.
We talking about some new shit.
I'll start signing some new shit eventually. But it's just some shit he just got in his collection. That's over there. It's like a nigga that owned a whole bunch of fucking Jordans and shit all in the closet.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
This is just, that's what Death Row is. It's something. He's a pair of Jordans in his closet right now.
Hold up, B.
Eventually he'll break them out and put them on and do something with that shit.
Snoop, you mean to tell me Snoop just can't sit down in his own living room and then cue up Bandcamp and then put in hip hop,
nigga,
and then just go through a couple of albums, see what the style is out there,
nigga?
Because I'm just saying, if you're Snoop, right, and I see you drumming up Jones for the label, but when we gonna put some Jones out? As a matter of fact, boss, there's a kid named Marlo from North Carolina who's super talented, yo. I think maybe if you get to listen to his music, can you imagine him on Death Row? You know, on a new, you know, or there's this kid or there's that kid. I'm just saying.
B,
Do you run in a record label, or you just using this as another stunt platform?
Did you ever hear him say he was running the label? I just heard him that he owned the label. That's why I say it's like a pair of Jordans in the fucking closet, and every now and then you'll break them out and put them on when you got the right outfit on. So right now, eventually he'll break out Death Row. Maybe he'll sign somebody, make a big splash, and talk about this album coming out. But right now, B, it's just a pair of Jordans in the closet, B. It ain't nothing. It's nothing to see here.
Doesn't even have to be a big splash. Can't he just make a one-page announcement? Death Row, we signed Marlo, and he's working on a new EP. We ain't doing a full album yet, but we gonna float an EP out there. He's a real talented kid, and we're going to see how it works out for us. Just a one line, not a big splash, not a lot of hubbub and shit.
B, Snoop is too busy out here making money doing other shit that ain't got nothing to do with hip-hop. Got a damn thing to do with hip-hop.
Got you.
Trophies.
What's going on out there, Swerve?
Shit, I don't know. There's a whole lot of people who are very, very talented out in L.A. and Vegas, actually. So
I'm not saying that Marlo is just a Bandcamp nigga. He's very talented. One of the albums from last year that I still, you know, that I still bump. And I'm like, damn, yo, you running around fucking giving Russell Crowe and them niggas gold chains and shit. Really?
He gave him a very cheap gold chain. You say with $9,000 each.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, these chains mean $100,000, my nigga.
But the value has gone up since they got it. And Martha Stewart got a Snoop Dogg tattoo, I heard. What the fuck?
I heard it was fake.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Probably was.
Yeah, it's
got
to be one of those.
Got me on the clickbait.
Yeah, up, see?
Hey, I'm human.
Yes, you've been had by the algorithm.
For the most part, though, I just love to read the comments. I ain't gonna lie.
Those comments be funny as fuck. Because some niggas just jump out the window. They just say some of the most outlandish shit.
Yes, they do.
You be like, damn, really? Is it? Did they just smack your mother? Why are you so mad at these niggas, B?
Right.
All right. Well, let's keep it moving. Then next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, you know, a very unknown Houdini record called "Growing Up." Had the hook, something about growing up. I don't know what the hook is. It was an old Houdini record. I'm not going to sing it because I don't remember the hook, but it was called Growing Up.
Oh, yeah, I was waiting. I was like, okay.
Anyway, this topic falls under the tag of growing up and maybe late. And this is from one of our Panda Hall of Famers, too.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Maybe we got to rethink our panda wear here.
Well, I don't know. Jada Kiss believes labels should be held responsible for violent lyrics. Can you believe this?
CB.
Wait a minute. Is this the same nigga who said something about his coke weighs something about weighing the whales or something?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
He said
violent lyrics. Believe. And I do remember quite a few lyrics from him. I'm not going to go word for word, but I remember quite a few songs and quite a few features, quite a few shit that he's put out here with him saying some shit about stretching niggas out, about laying niggas down. He's said that on several occasions. And I was like, when I seen that shit, it really struck me. It hit me different. It really hit me different. Like, come on, B. Are you serious? Not you, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? Not you. You cannot be out here talking about nonviolent lyrics. About violent lyrics and labels need to be responsible for this shit. Then when I actually got into the story and actually read and what he was talking about and everything, and then I said, oh, he started bringing me around a little bit. I was like, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. I do feel you on that. Labels can change this shit if they stop trying to monetize these violent lyrics and let these motherfucking niggas just keep making this shit in the hood and putting them out on mixtapes and do that. Then the labels wouldn't be responsible for this shit. But I'm still saying, yo, B, not you, son.
Michael McDonald, Doobie Brothers, y'all niggas keep forgetting. The fucking labels are going to... If motherfuckers was singing fucking rap songs over motherfucking ice cream truck music and people was loving that shit, we would be inundated by that shit by the industry. The industry don't give a fuck what people are talking about on these records. The industry gives a fuck about how much money they can make off of whoever the fuck it is that people are listening to. So I can't even allow his argument, because how you gonna tell the record label to fucking regulate what people are saying? Okay, if you want to be a Christian record label, go ahead.
Cool, I don't think,
but see, he's not saying to regulate what people are saying. He's saying regulate putting that shit out. Don't even put that bullshit out here in the streets. That's what he's saying. Yeah, don't even put
tripping.
That out.
He's tripping. No,
don't
even put that everything
that
out.
That type of
sells.
Energy in it. Don't even put that energy in the world, because that shit just, when these niggas put these records out, somebody gets killed. Or somebody's already been killed, because these niggas brag about the shit.
Oh, God.
So he's like, you need to stop doing that.
Gotta be careful, guys. Gotta be careful. A motherfucker had Tupac up in court because some nigga in Florida shot a cop and said, I was listening to Tupac. That shit is crazy, yo. That's just crazy to me.
So, I think like most things.
No, that's a different. That analogy doesn't fit this one.
No, but
because this shit's real life shit. This is niggas talking about. These is niggas that's talking about niggas that they done killed from other crews, blocks, gangs, and then somebody from that gang gonna come out and kill somebody from that, and they gonna put a record out and talk about that shit.
So this is the thing.
This
is
real life niggas getting popped.
So let me see if I can tie. Shit. But let me see if I can tie it together. So Swerve. See, you got to remember, from the era that we come in, it's the slippery slope is in effect here. If you want to start, you know, checking niggas' lyrics or whatever now, but then now you got Kurt G on the other side of that saying, well, unlike back in the days where a Tupac and a Jada Kiss could tell the story, but it's a narrative form. It's just a composite form, not actually one project talking to another project or pull-up culture.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And pull-up culture stretches not just from rap records. There's that young NBA nigga from the Memphis Grizzlies and shit.
Oh, yeah.
On camera.
Ja.
Fucking holding guns and just.
Yeah. It's, yo, so let me ask you this, though. I get it. I get that. I get it fully. I understand what Kurt is saying, and I want to understand what Oh boy is saying, but do you think, honestly, if fucking drill music and all that shit goes away, that the murders and shit go away?
No, but they're saying the labels don't have to advertise that shit and make it even bigger than what it is.
Look, a lot of people have said for a long time, and again, record labels specifically, and all the YouTubes and the Spotify's, all these guys are making a lot of money off black misery, okay? Yep. So that is true. Now, what Jada Kiss is saying, that's why I used the Houdini record growing up, okay? There was a time where it was very important for Kiss to get out, okay, the narrative drug scene of Yonkers, New York, okay? And what him and his folk did in narrative style, okay? I don't know what it is about these kids nowadays. I don't have the answer. I guess my final point on Kiss would be is that sometimes you don't have the moral authority to say something like that. And I've said that about a lot of cats. I said that about Ross. I'm saying it about Jada Kiss now. Yeah, you've matured and we see and we hear your maturity. You know what I'm saying? But you don't necessarily have the moral authority, because people are going to pull out too many of your lyrics and be like, what you talking about, boss?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it hit me different. As soon as I heard that, I'm like, come on, B, not you. I know you can't be saying this shit.
But let me read this copy. It says, Kiss isn't the only artist who's taken an issue with the spread of... And Jada is specifically saying it's this drill shit.
Right.
It's this drill shit. This drill, this
because
pull
up. Because
it's
basically real life murder and mayhem is what that shit is. It's real life.
Right. I mean, over... Basically, just what used to be written on the wall and graffiti, you know, this is, you know what I'm saying, this is our turf, nigga, don't come up around here, is now instantaneously.
Now it's songs being put out
to
the world.
Now songs, right, put out to the world instantaneously.
And these niggas is making money off of this shit.
Yeah.
So.
It's definitely a convoluted subject, because yes, do we want shit to be better? Yes. It's just that, like, right now... No different to these kids now than us when even our coming of age and coming into hip hop couldn't tell a shit. And our shit was nowhere near what the level it is now, but you couldn't tell a shit. So you think you can tell these young kids shit?
No, of course not. Nigga can't tell me nothing about no motherfucking MOP. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck you talking about, son? Downtown swinging, nigga. What the fuck you saying?
Maybe it'll just play itself out. Eventually, they'll get tired because those kids that are out there in these drill streets, they're gonna get older too. Hopefully.
So, additionally, and I'll end it with this: Bobby Shmurda said in an August 2022 interview that he doesn't want to be associated with drill music.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, I see no problem.
Yeah, Bobby Bitch himself.
He's a little older too, though, to, you know, as far as musically old.
Right.
I mean, he's tired of that shit. Seeing it. He don't want to go back to jail or be dead.
And Bobby's finished in the music industry anyway.
You think?
B, you said it. He's going, pew, that's how fast it go.
Yeah, the whole scene done changed since he was popping.
Yeah.
The whole scene done changed. Not that he can't get in, but if he in New York and he want to do anything similar to what he used to do, it's going to be that New York drill shit.
Guys, hope not.
Yeah.
All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is the rest in peace portion of the show. And I'm going to say rest in peace to Wayne Shorter, the jazz great. And I mean great. I mean, I don't want to have to pull out my Wayne Shorter Jones.
And you do have a nice blue note stack.
I do, of course. I mean, you know, I try to do my thing on that. Wayne Shorter from Newark, New Jersey. Okay. And I'm going to go through some highlights of Mr. Shorter's career. He played with Miles Davis Quartet from 1964 to 1970. Okay. Herbie Hancock said of Wayne that he is the master writer. And that Wayne Shorter is one of the few people that brought music to Miles Davis, and that Miles played every note of it. Miles didn't change it or freestyle over it. Very, very rare for Miles Davis, because when nobody telling Miles Davis what to play.
Hell no. That nigga had a strong hand.
Exactly. And then he went on to play with Weather Report from 1971 to 1986. All right. Weather Report, if you know anything about jazz, I shouldn't have to explain that to you. You know what I mean? In 2018, Shorter, he retired from a 70-year performing career.
Damn.
70 years. Okay? All right? So that just lets you know, in the totality, when we up here and we talking about these fucking micro-minute fucking rap niggas all the time and shit. You know what I mean? Where the real gods are, okay? And Wayne Shorter is one of them, 70 years, you know what I'm saying? We honor him, rest in peace. And, of course, I don't know all the samples that was out there. I just know two in particular was All Black by Big L and Speak Your Clout from Gangstar or Wayne Shorter Records, okay? He had 43 studio albums. That was just him.
Wow.
By itself, he had 43 studio albums. That's not counting contemplations, EPs, or appearances on other people's joints. Okay?
Damn, that's called work.
Yes, sir.
So that's beyond work. One of the interesting stories about Wayne Shorter was that I forgot to get this down, but I want to say it was in the last days of Tina Turner and Ike Turner together that Tina Turner says in her memoir that it was Wayne Shorter who saved her life because him and his wife let Tina Turner stay at their house for like almost a year as she's separating from Ike Turner.
How crazy is that?
That's crazy.
Yes. So, again, rest in peace to Mr. Wayne Shorter. We salute you, sir.
Salute.
Yes, yes.
And we also want to say rest in peace goes out to the Mighty Ha of Crew. His real name is Anthony Holmes. Now, I didn't get where he was from. I'm assuming that he was from New York. And I don't really know anything about him, like, technically per se, but I know he was involved in the Dirty 30, a member of Crew, okay? Released in June of 1997. It's one of them things. It is the apex of 90s hip hop. And it was still early enough. One of my fondest memories of Crew when they were on the local station here in the DC area. And they asked him about, yo, where did y'all get that guitar sample? Because these were the days where you could get a hot sample and the man. And they was cagier than a mug on the radio. They was like, nah, I can't tell you that. I cannot tell you that.
You know the rules.
And that's exactly how it came across too, son. You know the rules. But I could tell you what the sample was. It was an R&B group called Rhythm. And it was a record called The World is a Place, 1976. They only made one record on RCA Records. And I'm sure since the death of Mr. Holmes that the obviously Just Another Case and the original has been getting a lot of spins. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that album was actually put together. It was a joint venture between Def Jam and Violator. And Chris Lighty was the executive producer on that record. Had mad guest appearances. Black Rob was on the record. Anthony Hamilton, Antoinette, Razzcast, Slick Rick, The Lox, and Tracy Lee were all on the Dirty 30.
Yeah, they put a lot of money into that project.
They did.
I remember niggas was just disappointed. Like, this shit didn't do what we thought it was going to do.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah, they were really, and I don't know why, because, you know, I actually kind of was listening to the Dirty 30 a little bit, and I was, even back then, because I bought it, but even, I was like, Jesus, a great record, you know. But obviously, Just Another Case was on a whole nother level.
A whole nother level.
Yeah, Just Another Case was on a whole nother level. Pronto on that was my joint too, you know, on the B side.
Yeah, you did rock with that.
Yeah, so, you know what I'm saying? So we say rest in peace to him, you know what I mean? You know, you certainly will live on in hip hop because, again, when everybody plays that sample, they gonna know what that sample is. You know what I mean? And not to mention the Slick Rick, obviously, hook Just Another Case. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? So, no doubt. All right, let me rock the next topic here. Where we at? Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is
oh, man, Melly Mel?
Bass. White lines. Yeah, and it was like, ooh, wop. Don't you get too high. Melly Mel goes ham on the internets.
All on the internets.
So where do we start, man? Mel said a lot of things. Mel... Where do we start?
You know okay. what? This is where I'll start.
Okay.
I'll let you get in. This is just a quick little
My
side
man,
note.
Do your thing.
When I see Mel all over the place, like I'm like, what the fuck is Mel doing popping up on my damn notifications? Mel? I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, damn, Mel needs a check. Because it's niggas is putting a mic in front of his face so often, this nigga should be charging.
So... There's some things. So Mel kind of responded to a lot of controversy. I think the controversy was number one, dissing Eminem. I don't even think he was dissing Eminem. He had the opinion of Eminem. He want all Isaiah Thomas. He want Zeke on niggas.
Ooh.
Okay. And for those who are a little younger, let me give you the reference. Isaiah Thomas, this was in the 80s. This is flush when Larry Bird is at the top of his game. Isaiah Thomas said the only reason why people think Larry Bird's so good because he's white.
Well, actually, I think Dennis Rodman said it, and Isaiah got the heat because he backed it up, and he was a bigger star.
Oh, is that how that goes?
That's how it actually
happened. Okay, my man, thank you for clearing that up. But either way...
But he is the face of that statement, though.
Right, Zeke, yes.
Yeah.
So, there's Melly Mel. He on that same shit, you know what I mean? But then he came out... And then he would pull out some Eminem lyrics where Eminem himself saying, I would have sold half if I was black. So, okay. Then, of course, obviously, you know, shooing in of Kendrick Lamar, you know, saying, I guess, what did he say about Kendrick? Something about Kendrick ain't really a factor in the game or hip hop or something. Nobody wants to rap like Kendrick, whatever, something like that. That ain't buying Melly no friends.
he attacking niggas that's making mega money out here. In the
right,
game.
Right. So that's not a... And then, what was that after that? Damn, Swerve, help me out. I'm struggling.
I'm just stuck on those two and his response on it. So, if there was anybody else...
Oh, he was going. He was going off about the number one spot.
Yes, that's what it was.
He was going off about that.
That's
too.
What it was. And then, of course, the number one spot where he took umbrage with a lot of things. He was like, "How you gonna have Nicki Minaj in front of Rakim?" That type is Joan and whoever.
The gist of this is that I'm getting the vibes from y'all. Is it Mel should have just kept his mouth shut and lived his life, or you're saying he did this just to get a check? And I said that in my guru style, just to get a check. Is that which are we saying here?
Well, he didn't get paid, so somebody asked him a question. He said he just spoke his mind. Well, Mel, if you know anything about Melly, he gonna speak his mind any goddamn way.
Right. This ain't nothing new.
It just happened that.
Right.
It just happened to catch him in the right time, in the right moment, and he made a splash.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm gonna put the question to you.
Okay.
What's wrong with righteous indignation?
Actually nothing.
I display that a lot on this show. I'm sorry. What is wrong with righteous indignation?
Nothing.
You know, I thought what Mel said. Now, obviously, Mel.
He's a little off with what he was saying.
Well,
it was his opinion.
Mel, first of all, and I said this on the text chain, Mel doesn't really know anything. He knows Kendrick and Eminem by name, but he really doesn't know anything about hip hop. He doesn't know anything about underground niggas. And he knows those commercial niggas by name. Now, maybe he can only speak to other commercial niggas. Okay. Now, in terms of getting a check, okay, Pusha T is doing a White Line remix to a movie about a coked up bear, apparently. I did see that video. Melly Mel was down with it. Obviously, Mel's getting a check because it's doing White Lines. Mel has certainly been cashing checks because he did it when Mobb Deep did it on when they sampled White Lines. And I guess Duran Duran covered White Lines. So, you know, Mel on some level is getting paid, but he was very articulate about hip hop and who invented it. And about the people who at the beginning, and this is where righteous indignation is true. You know, real talk, if you're leaving it up the Billboard, in the next 5 years, them niggas will have you thinking that motherfucker the Maple Leaf invented this whole shit.
Big Daddy Kane never existed.
Right.
Right. And I think I said that a few weeks ago, that in the future when all of us is dead and gone and we ain't no longer the gatekeepers of this shit, they going to be able to tell the motherfucking future, the past, however the fuck they want to say it. They can say Drake was number one and all them other niggas is irrelevant. If you want to see them go to the Universal Hip Hop Museum because that's the only place they deserve to be, they're not really relevant out here in these streets. Drake was the man. Kendrick was the man. Whoever was big at the time is the man, and the rest of these niggas is nobodies.
I think my issue is not with Melly Mel speaking his opinion. I think it might have been, he probably meant for it to be more about the Billboard writer, the person who put together that shit, than for it to be about Eminem or Kendrick or anybody else. But you know how it is. Sound bites, they're going to use whoever owns that shit is going to put whatever the fuck best sound bite to them out, or clickbait, whatever part of the story they're going to put out.
So again, back to righteous indignation. The thing that I never appreciated with modern rap is the fact that certain niggas can't get this. Like, I mean, you can't diss M. You can't diss J.
Why? Why can't you diss M? I want to know why.
Hey. Hey.
Is it because he's short? I don't know. I want to know why.
You know what I'm saying? And see, L and Mel don't come from that school.
Right.
See, that's what I'm saying. You know, and so a lot of people, yo, that old motherfucker, I'm sick of that motherfucker. He's super old. Why are you talking about, you know what I'm saying? Why are you talking about my shit, yo?
I mean, I can't believe how many who is he's I read in comments. Who is Melly Mel? What is, he's just mad. Who is, I was like, wow, the disrespect.
It ain't, but see, that's what I'm talking about. In the future, niggas like Melly never even existed in this game. He already don't exist. He already knew who the fuck is this nigga. And he's a reason, one of the reasons why your ass is even out here making money doing this shit right now. These motherfuckers are the foundation of this shit. They totally, the foundation means absolutely nothing.
So
right. Exactly. It's right now.
It's right now, this minute, and this way it always has been, exactly like it is right now. Anything before that don't even matter.
But if you look at the last 20 years, and 20 years is a long time in youth, all right? Because you're 21 day and then you wake up and you're 40. But that 20 years happens, right? And 20 years in rap music has been good, bad, and ugly. We know that. It's been good, bad, and ugly. A little bit of good, in my opinion. A lot of bad and a whole lot of ugly. And if you're saying that it's... Well, no, I'm saying that these young folks who are probably in their 20s or 20 now, when they became alive, that's what was fucking being played. It wasn't hearing fucking Sugar Hill Gang versus Furious Five or whatever. They weren't hearing none of that shit. They was hearing Lean With It, Rock With It.
So this one I'm saying, I'm just sort of asking. I wonder, and I'm going to ask my daughter this. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask my oldest daughter this because this is kind of because she's in her mid-30s. I'm going to ask her, do you at some point in time look back at music before what you like? Mm. I'm kind of curious about that.
I'm going to probably say no.
Because
unless it's being played on the radio.
Because it's a key thing here. You know, I certainly remember as a young guy, again, telling people, you know, fuck y'all niggas, y'all know about this Boogie Down Productions, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, but of course, at some point, and because of relatives, you know, putting me up on other forms of music, that I could look back. And it's one of my favorite things to do is to look back at music that I haven't heard or artists that I don't know anything about. It's the music discovery for me is the thing. So, and I'm curious, do kids, and this is back to Kurt G's point, do kids have that in them to look back? Whether if it's looking back at just for Run DMC or the Fat Boys or shit, like you said, if you were born in fucking the block is hot, you know, when you were, that's Wayne is your man. You know, are you looking back on anything? You know, oh, nah, Wayne's my man. As a matter of fact, I'm nothing but the South. You know, I don't know. Eight Ball, Two Live.
That's before that.
DJ Magic Mike. I mean,
that's all before that shit. That's all before. That's all dinosaurs, B. The only way you're going to find out about this shit, and it's all been, and I hate to keep using the word program and shit, but it's just almost like it's programming to make niggas only think about now. Don't worry about what happened yesterday, the day before. We're thinking about right now because even notifications pop up, timeline, shit just popping up. It's all about what's the next thing, what's coming, and everybody's got to be instant right now. You be seeing so many misspelled shit, niggas just so quick to try to get their story out before anybody else gets it out. Yeah. And they just misspelling words all over the fucking place.
Even I'm talking professional,
talking about ESPN and spaces like that. You'd be like, what the fuck, nigga? You could have took 5 minutes to spell check me? You know what I'm saying? But it's so much, just so right now, right in your face, that niggas don't even think about what happened before them. So you would have to have somebody like a Melly Mel, somebody from the past, say something to even make themselves relevant for right now. They have to talk about something that's happening right now in order to be like, who the fuck is that guy?
Is Melly doing it to make himself relevant? Because first of all,
he's not.
Because, right, I was going to say, because Mel, no matter what, is not going to be relevant. But again, to the larger cultural, you can't say anything about artists X, Y, and Z. How many times even y'all selves got up here and be like, you can't say nothing about Wifey. You stop criticizing Wifey. Don't do it.
Well, when we say it, it ain't that you can't say nothing.
And we're saying it's in jest.
We're saying it, saying that you know what comes with that. Right. When niggas hear you say something about her, she's got the best fucking fan base because she ain't got to say, her and fucking and Rihanna, they ain't got to say a word. They ain't got to respond to nobody. Just let niggas talk all the shit they want and just sit back and wait for their fucking fan base to just...
Lizzo got a pretty good
squad. Grab them niggas.
Hey, you know what, man? Shout to you, man. You know, on the last show, That's why Cody asked my man. He was like, yo, this internet shit got me like feeling like I'm lame vibing and shit.
You see that shit, right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? On this internet shit, feel me? Like I'm lame vibing.
Like, you know, every time I feel like I want to network with you niggas. I feel like I'm lame vibing and shit.
Exactly.
I'll mush one of you niggas.
Yeah, he was like, yo, niggas ain't fucking with me in real life because I'll mush you niggas.
Yeah.
I guess that's how I feel about like Mel and shit, you know what I'm saying? Because when it really gets right down to it, yo, he goes from a whole different culture, a whole different, but he invented hip hop. I mean, well, he's one of the forefathers, and certainly one of the guys.
A record that's played to this day,
but they don't know
the message is played to this day. Yo.
But he's a bridge from the park to making records. I mean,
he's a bridge before hip hop even existed.
Well, no, he's just a bridge from because he comes from the park, okay? Before records.
Right.
And then he's on record. I mean, that's that bridge, which is very important. I'm just saying, you can say what you want, yo. I continue to put on this show that it's got to be about documenting the history and documenting it accurately. You know what I'm saying? Not to the detriment of these young bulls and young ladies.
King Killer. We live in a different time, bro. He who holds the keyboard writes history.
Exactly, B. And these niggas is already showing you right now live in front of your face that they can just pick with a few strokes. They can get the world mad by putting Rakim at a certain number and putting fucking Nicki Minaj at a certain number.
Right.
And you're going, what the fuck?
All right.
And then there are those who wouldn't even understand how egregious that is.
Exactly. They don't even understand but first of all, who the fuck is Rakim?
Oh my
God.
Oh my
God.
But yeah, to us, that's blasphemy. Shit, and who is Melly Mel is blasphemy.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, who is Rakim? I don't know this nigga. He put out a record in the last fucking 10 years. Who is he? I don't know this nigga.
Well, they know him because they know of our reverence for him, but that's all they know.
Exactly. That's why they know Biggie and Tupac. The same reasons. Yeah, they know them niggas.
Exactly.
They have no clue. They weren't alive when Biggie and Tupac made records.
Nope.
So they have no clue who these niggas are, other than the fact that they're still being held up there. And that's the only reason them niggas are still high on the damn list. It's because the niggas still talk about them. Meaning they're still relevant.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know what I'm saying? Shout to Mel. Personally, like I said, I don't know about this platform, the art of dialogue, whoever. Right now, I don't know what the game is. Is it to make veterans look bad or what? But
it ain't about making them. It ain't nothing to do with making veterans look bad.
Really,
it's about making them look good.
Well,
they don't even care about you looking bad. It's not even they ain't going out to set up to make these veterans look bad.
And before that, he had Gip up there, and I'm agreeing with a lot of what Gip said, but Gip got into his feelings about that old again that sore that will never heal from niggas from the South of a certain era in New York, New York. Yo, nigga, get over that shit, yo. But that's just.
They can't get over that the same way that you can't get over the fact that the Maple Leaf is a man. And you take a jab at this nigga every time. Like, how the fuck is this fake-ass nigga? Are you running shit? I can't see how niggas can't see through this phony motherfucker.
I'll give you that. I receive that truth. You're right. I'm like, that motherfucker is a $3 bill. Okay.
What is that called? Indignant resignation. What is it called?
Oh, shit. Alright, you're right. I received that truth. I am baffled by that.
Shut him down.
Yeah, I'm quiet now. Yeah,
because he can't believe it. Like, at least niggas that was hot. At least had some sense of realism. Like, niggas was real. Like, niggas really felt this nigga. You're like, what are you doing? This nigga came in the game. He's an actor. He's performing. Putting on a show.
And went straight tough guy.
Oh, my God.
But you got smacked by Combs.
Oh, don't.
Amongst security, but still.
I'm going to detour past that because that's a whole nother thing. I'm going to get into the next topic.
Let's move on then.
All right, next topic.
There's a lot there.
Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, guess who's starting a record label? We just got the smashing Snoop, right? For he owns the label, but we don't know if he's running a record label. One, Nicki Minaj, ahead of Rakim on the Billboard, says that she's starting her own label, and said that too many female veteran MCs have come up to her and said they should have retired as moguls, and why there isn't a female version of Jay-Z. And she aims to be that with the starting of her own record label. One Nicki, the bra, the panty, Minaj herself.
I know where you're going, but I'm going to salute her.
Golf clap for that.
Yes.
Yeah, she's trying to do something, yes. But hopefully she does something that continues is she gonna to be build a, the culture.
Okay, we'll see about right, that. Right, because right. Is she gonna really run the label, or is she gonna be a mama son, just putting the other bra and panties out?
Wow, that's a whole different aspect.
That's a whole different animal right there. And I can't even answer that question. I would think that off the first guess would be yes, she's gonna put out more of the same. But
because I mean,
if she asks, does she actually? Let's go to the first question. Does she actually own the label, or is it just an imprint?
Well,
slash, she gets the. She's just a glorified A&R. She finds somebody, and then they get on the slash whatever major label that is, Universal, whoever.
I don't know if she got a deal, but again, you don't need that shit. Her name is big enough, and she could get some artists with a cosign of her name, this is my label or whatever, you know. And right now, we're just gonna run it through Bandcamp. This is real
nigga,
grind.
Bandcamp vibe right now, nigga. These niggas on Bandcamp for a fucking reason, my nigga. They not on a label, and most of them don't want nothing to do with a fucking label.
Okay, I'm just saying, yo. You talking about a deal and an imprint or whatever? Yo, she's super wealthy. She doesn't need that shit.
She doesn't need it, B, but she's doing it, and whether it's just something she's telling herself, she wants to be a mogul, and this is a way she thinks she's going to be able to start her mogulness by getting a label and starting a label and then transitioning that label into a liquor company, into some clothing, into some Rihanna Fenty shit. You know what I'm saying? Is she trying to build her shit up from this? Or is this something she's seriously taking? Like, you know what? I want this label to mean something.
Well, it could be an answer to both. It could be, Kurt, we got to wait and see. We don't know. We know that she is trying to start a label. She said it, and I believe her, and I wish her success in that. Now, once the label's created, now you got to put artists on there. And that part is the unknown. We right now will assume that she's gonna put on shit that's like her or shit that's out right now for these young ladies.
Okay.
We assume that.
All right, here we go. Let's see here. It says during the broadcast here, she says, okay, the rapper also shared the roster of new artists she has signed. She got people on the label, including somebody named London Hill, Tate, KOBANG. Rico, Dana, and a couple other nigga names that sound foreign to me that I'm gonna butcher.
But she's going for some of that BTS money.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be. I don't know. Looks like by the look of the name, I don't know if she's going for that Afrobeat money or something. You know?
That too. That's good money too.
Yeah. Yeah. She said she always wanted to venture into the business side. You know, and then, of course, what I already told you about how come there's not a female MC out there, you know. So, hey, I mean, we'll see how it goes.
I guess Queen Latifah would have something to say about that.
Well,
because she's off into her mogulness.
Yeah, but she ain't really putting out no music.
She ain't putting out no, but a mogul, when you say mogul, meaning multiple things that she's doing as far as that. Because she started off with Flavor Unit and moved up and then brought that on to where she is now. So I'm saying that if Nicki wants to be similar, starting off with something like a Flavor Unit, but i.e. just a label, and build that up to TV, television, whatever, So I'm saying Queen started already giving her the blueprint. If she's saying that there's no other moguls out there, Queen Latifah did that already.
You know what? It's a very short straw. And what happens with a lot of this shit, and what I think is going to happen with Snoop, you know, Snoop and all these other motherfuckers, there's been a lot of motherfuckers who did this, right? And it's funny, people always name Hove, right? I mean, Hove was...
He's the biggest.
No, that's Hove... No, wait, hold up. Hove was, I'm going to say, barely passable as a label head, okay? Yeah, he signed Rihanna, which then, you know, bring a lot of...
But he didn't own the label, though.
No.
The label he partly owned was Rockefeller.
Right.
Which and brought a lot of heat to the game.
Now, see, but think about it like this. Beanie was barely going gold and everything else on rock really wasn't. Dipset, same thing, kind of, you know, would sell some units, but really wasn't bringing in money like that. Now, maybe Dame had more to do with that. But I'm talking about when Jay was running Def Jam. Barely passable as an executive on that. He gets a lot of fucking credit. Like he was, and I get the Rihanna signing will give you that credit. But come on, B. I mean, he did sign Nas to the label, too. So, and I think Roots came through on his watch, too. So, it wasn't like there wasn't quality there. But, and compared to other people, was he really breaking a lot of shit? I mean, you can say what you want about Steve Rifkin and Loud Records. But, boy. God damn it.
Steve was the man.
Yeah, exactly.
You just think about all the people that came
through. That came through on Loud. Exactly. Ooh. So when you start talking about like legendary labels and label heads of labels, I don't know. Yeah. And your boy Tom Silverman, who's got a fucked up reputation now because nobody wants to fuck with him because of what he did to his artists.
Yeah.
But the Tommy Boy roster is steeped with Hall of Famers.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
You know, so I don't know. You know, you can say what you want. Jay, he's barely passable on that. You're better at selling liquor and clothes.
Well, Jay actually took a step backwards. If you wonder, he went from label head to working at a label. So he went backwards.
Well, not really, because they gave him his part of the cash out of rock.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as if you
hired, ain't got masters.
You went from owning a label to working at a label. So you went backwards in that case.
I mean, then if that's the case, a lot of people went backwards.
But I'm just saying, if you're saying...
You mean tell me Eminem's manager, Paul Rosenberg? I mean, he almost crashed the plane.
Right. He did. Yeah, he did. But by the way, I would just say he made a backwards move. Oh. Instead of making a forward move, he made a backwards move. Instead of taking that, owning a label, taking his money and starting a new label, he went and worked at a label.
So King Killer, going back to Miss Minaj.
Yes.
Let's you wanna make a statement on who you think will put out an artist first, her or Snoop?
Nikki.
Oh yeah, that's easy. Okay. Yeah, Nikki will put one out first. And actually, to be honest with you, I'm gonna be rooting for her. I would like to see her actually run it. I would like to see her eye for if she could really pick out the talent. I don't know these people she signed. And if somebody blows, whether if it's bra and panty or not, I'll be like, well, you know what? Okay, here she comes. Let's see her bulldoze shit. You know what I mean? Let's see her saying, okay, well, we got bra and panty, but nah, you know, we don't have to go out like that. I want her to have that type of power.
But that is also showing that fact that you don't have to just keep being out here on the mic just to make money. There's another way to make money out here. Take your money and invest it in yourself, meaning your label or whatever it is you want to do, instead of taking it and investing it in cars and chains and all this other bullshit.
No doubt. So let's think about that for a minute, yo. Let me ask you about one more label, a guy who started a label and was a label head. What about Ross? He was mentioned quickly earlier. What about Maybach Music? What about that whole scene?
Maybach? He was obviously the biggest artist over there.
He was his biggest artist.
He was his biggest artist. I guess Meek and Wale came in next.
I'm trying to think. Anybody else bigger than Meek and Wale on that label?
I can't think of anybody else.
Hell no, I can't either. He tried to get that kid from D.C., but I can't remember. Was it Fat Trail?
Yeah, something Fat like that, Trail, but... yeah.
Oh, that's a jail, nigga. I don't know.
Well, Maybach music. But no, I think that those three were the label.
But to Kurt G's point, look at the history though. So you can look at G Unit in the same way. I mean, G Unit was just a stepping stone for 50 to do other things.
Right.
So maybe the label for Nicki is just, okay, I got to set up the label. Maybe I get three or four artists out there and then I move on. Then I move to step up, you know.
Right.
I'm doing, this is the first, you know, female liquor, you know.
I ain't going to be mad at that either. Well, it won't be, but I won't be mad at that either.
But
no, I'm just saying, but make sure claim
first
something
rapper,
from
rapper.
Right.
Okay.
Right. No doubt. So. No doubt. All right, so that's good, gentlemen. Before we get into the Digital Freaks album of the week, I got a homework assignment.
Oh, damn it. I hate homework.
Yeah, nah, this is...
He's letting us know and not hitting us on the day of.
Right. He's giving us homework, meaning he's already got his material done and ready.
No, I do not. Was talking
still to got a week, so it's all good.
talking to one of my homeboys. I put him up on the show. I usually don't even tell the people I work with I'm doing this shit. But he was like, "Yo, man." He was like, "Yo, my state got a lot of rappers. What do you think the top five history records for my state?"
And what is his state?
North Carolina. He's from Raleigh, Durham. Oh, so. Wow. So, I can only do three off the top of my head, but
we ain't doing them right now, though.
No,
it's homework.
But the homework assignment,
get the homework done.
But the homework assignment will be
little brother
five
off the top
will be five records, history or current, but the best five hip hop records from the state of North Carolina.
All right, then.
You know what I'm saying? Get your Tar Heel on.
Unless you're a Dookie.
Oh, them niggas
there are some, you know.
Tobacco Road and shit.
Fuck it, I'll go A&T before I do that shit.
Oh,
so.
Boy.
I can't front. You know, I always said that Krzyzewski was my man.
Coach K.
That's my man. Niggas hated Duke.
Cherry picking ass nigga. Yo, so there we go. So,
listen to this nigga, cherry picking ass nigga, when he got one of the biggest cherry pickers on the Lakers. LeBron, one of the biggest cherry picking ass niggas out here.
Come on, B.
He pick and choose where he want to play. Like, I want to be here to win me a championship, nigga.
Come on, B. You know, me and Laker Nation will have something to say about that later.
You sure?
All right, so.
Are they going to make the playoffs?
Probably not.
Playoffs? They're going to have LeBron saying that shit.
I know, for real.
About playoffs?
That nigga too busy out here talking about it, getting his son a spot.
I know,
he's
man.
Like, nigga, son could come right out of high school right now and play.
He actually, to be honest with you, LeBron sounded like your boy, the Ball's dad. He's starting to sound like him right now.
Well,
shit.
You see what the Ball's dad did, though. You see, at three boys in the NBA, I'm never going to be mad at that.
So. All right, son. So here we go. The Digital Freaks. Albums of the Week, Digital Freaks, brought to you by Peter, Matt, and Kurt G. This is the new End of the Show albums. Remember, it's the Digital Freaks Albums of the Week.
All right. This week's Digital Freaks Albums of the Week is Shay Noir and Big Ghost, Noir or Never. That's Shay Noir. I don't know how to say that. Is it Noir or Noir?
I thought it was Noir.
Noir, okay. Shay Noir and Big Ghost LTV, Noir or Never. That's brought to you by Mr. Pete Johansson.
Denmark was good.
Smokey Joe. All right. And then we got AJ Swade and Televangel. Now, see, this word here got me fucked up. Is it Partheon shots or partition shots? Whatever it is. Brought to you by Matt. We got AJ Swade and Televangel. Partition shots or Partheon shots. Brought to you by man Matt.
All right.
And then this week is my pick. Our brother from the text chain, we got S in the beat, and Das the Beat Junkie.
Oh,
driver or driven. We got S and Das the Beat Junkie, driver or driven.
All right, so that's what's good. I'm gonna say what I always say: check the text chain, check us out. Thank you for riding with us.
Yes,
and I still can't believe people think the maple leaf is all that.
Yeah, but the text chain.
Get over just, that just shit, man. Just
some background.
Get over that shit.
You gotta have the GroupMe app. Then you can get on there and just type in Hip Hop Digest text chain. And then there's still the entry fee.
Yes.
Which is your top three.
Personal MCs.
Personal MCs. And the first record that you bought, the first piece of music.
Right.
Because it could have been a goddamn
could have been
MP3.
Right, could have been MP3. you might have downloaded that shit off LimeWire, my nigga.
Either way, the first piece of music that you owned, no doubt. So that's the entry fee. So we'll see y'all next week.
Yes, sir.
Salute.
One.
Having the same damn dream for weeks now, man. Bless it, right? I see myself on this big fucking highway, right? It's real hot. I'm all alone. I've come to this big black and gold death bins, man. So I get inside the car, right?
Yes, it'll turn it up a little. Let it go, let it go. Hey, yo, Nasty, yes. Let that go, man. Let it go. Now I'm chopping your neck. Lyrically, I want respect like Mr. Zev, love X. Blasphemous text, next pawn, sex for the checks. Malcontent, smoke signal, just a sign of distress. Here's a door knocker from Osaka to Opa-locka. Pressure cooker flow, heat low, call it the Betty Crocker. Push pin peasants, get presents into the essence. Thought respected, once connected by the 16th sentence. No discussion, wordplay be destruction over percussion. I move and touch and bless him with vocals like David Ruffin. So dramatic, I was woven from classic fabric. Scale a mountain counter, then put it back like we had it on the 10th day. Got it and plotted to move it 10 ways. Needed pin play, so I called the sensei from NJ. The rough diamond who liking rhyming the coal mining. Stick and move, ran through the groove with my soul shining. What?
I shine, you shine, shine. I shine, you shine, shine. Shine. Shine.
Conflict, rhyme, sick and climb, spit divine mind, Tristram bomb, barrels, bond lyrics, sublime spirit, no way to interfere or smear it, gate clearance, great appearance, even haters revere it, inherit adhesive features, imperative teacher, credible speaker, special reader, technical creature, from the land of bricks, planted on the glitch, too many handle on the grip, your man is in the ditch, different times made for different shit, trying to get the fix, rock wish, drop whip, trader stock tips, we the option in the pocket like bills, credit card mills. Brought a pill, you brought on the deals. Yeah. Got a lost skills, heard across the hills. What? Recording round wrist, roping reporter in the field. Get it, get this it. Ain't for duty, monster movie impact. Soul in that track, boom slap, yo, NASA, bring the tune back.
I shine, you shine, shine. I shine, you shine, shine.
Not too many can do it like yours truly.
Real shit from a true vet. For the love of hip hop.
We stayed original ever since, yo.
Yeah, sound traveling faster than light. The way I write, shadow box. You should sound like past the ox, man. Noxious, obnoxious. I take that, sans vox. But you kick in your snare, can kick rocks, man. Hot to spit on your whole outfit. Ad hoc, fighting words, cause you sound absurd. Thinking you could try and mock the wordsmith. My vision is blurred. Still, I see through you like Binoc, Jean-Jacques. The past life name of the live guy with glasses. Just to serve to the masses.
daily, fresher than fuck. Try your luck, your penalty will reward all of those with the range of this mic cord. Be your Wi-Fi, while I, why try to fly before you walk, even before you run, before you crawl. Just be still, chill, praise the Lord. Yeah, salute those that respect the craft, respect those that salute the G's, MC's at ease, on stage in the booth for a cypher. Real recognize real till death, the lifer. Respect those that salute the G's, salute those that respect the craft, on behalf of an artist as a fan, man, woman, and child. Real recognize real, let's move the crowd.
Not too many can do it like yours truly.
Real shit from a true fan. For the love of hip hop,
we stayed original ever since, y'all.
Yeah, if a tree falls and goes unheard, you know it still makes a sound from the crack till it's hitting the ground. The vibrations exist regardless, they ripple around. This is simple, nothing profound. Same goes for the underground. We put in work regardless of whom. Guess what? World renowned. Make noise like you hear me now. Fuck the static, the basement, power in the light in the attic. Replacement not likely. One of a kind, I could influence many, but they not quite me. They get down, but not like me. The same words, simple rappers do not like me. See what I did there? Ha. The execution, the gifts, like I make light. Heavy as the hand that holds the mic. Way more weight than the head that wears the crown. I can be pleasant as a peasant, still as live the great. Come on,
yeah,
now.
Salute those that respect the craft. Respect those that salute the G's. MC's at ease, on stage in the booth or cypher. Real recognize real till death, the lifer. Respect those that salute the G's, salute those that respect the craft, on behalf of an artist as a fan, man, woman, and child. Real recognize real, let's move the crowd.
Not too many can do it like yours truly.
Real shit from a true fan. For the love of hip hop,
we stayed original ever since, y'all.
Yeah, salute those that respect the craft, respect those that salute the G's, MC's at ease, on stage in the booth or cypher. Real recognize real till death, the lifer. Respect those that salute the G's, salute those that respect the craft, on behalf of an artist as a fan, man, woman, and child. Real recognize real, let's move the crowd.
Yeah. For the love of money. Yeah. For the love of money. Yeah. I met this girl, her name's Monet. Dope boys love her. At the pitch in the eight, whether it's through the wire or she send it through mail. Her best friends Armani and the other Chanel. She like Gucci and Prada and Louis Vuitton. Said she evenly rooted, but she's still turning me on. Sometimes I barely can get her, sometimes I'm with her a lot. Sometimes she wanna be saved, sometimes she's still on the block. She gave the past some love and drugged us too. She even gave the working man with the collars is blue. I first met her as a kid when my pops was in her. Now I'm all grown up and I'm trying to get with her. She make a new killin' if you need her a lot. She make a new copy chain and a new drop top. You see, she easy to get, but she harder to keep. So I put on the mattress before I'm falling asleep.
For the money,
I wanna show it to my moms. Take her to the club so we can shine.
For the love of money,
I know she always on my mind. Some folks will know that probably do a crime.
For the love of money,
I wanna show it to my friends. I promise I ain't leaving her again.
For the love of money, I wanna make her mine. So you know I ain't wasting time. For the
hey. I heard you've been checking for me. Spending time in all your rhymes, talking about me and well, get this. I'm interested in you too. Call it a pleasure principle. Yeah. And at the rate that we go, we can make some grow, you know? Oh, and don't cheat on me either. I don't know how you get me, but when you get me, you might wanna keep me, cause I'ma definitely keep you.
For the love of my name.
Don't talk sweet, she comes.
curse at me. What it say, it's always pleasing, but the words always grab me. She got a couple sons and she got a sugar daddy. Always got her when he riding in his 89 caddy. And I tried to fuck her raw just to see if she'll multiply. Don't like child play, but she my tip. Valentine creeping through the night, trying to find her on the mission. There, Robbie trying to find her like Chris Jenner kissing on Corey. Make you gamble with your girl like Tristan. Now you saying it ain't true, but introduced it to your children. And now you got a magnet to protect her when she with you. Cause wanna be friends or they wanna start an issue. See, Moni, she ain't ever insecure like Issa with a raise. She keep players in the club like Lisa. Or in a different world, have you living like the Huxtables, but end up losing her if you ever get too comfortable with money. Day. I wanna show her to my moms. Take her to the club so we can shine for the love of money. I know she always on my mind. So folks will know they probably do a crime for the love of money. I wanna show it to my friends. I promise I ain't leaving her again for the love of money. I wanna make a mind so you know I ain't wasting time for the love of money. Playing your ring and run on the devil's doorbell.
Hey, yo, run for the hills. For the hills, you run in that song from the big drum fills. Run for the hills. For the hills, you run in that song from the big drum fills. Scary Shannon, scary, big pair of dairy cans, okay. On the wherry near the canyon, cloak dock, show stop, no standings, baby, mayday, mayday, hotter than a crack pipe on payday, on K2, she blew KK, pray to Jesus and the heyday,
Lord Jesus.
Now when we pray to cloak Elohim, yeah. Bellow scream, to the fellows living the dream, when the team, we plot, plot, that's how you got, by the two jocks and crotch rock. Yo, run for the hills. For the hills, you run in that song from the big drum fills. Run for the hills. For the hills, you run in that song from the big drum fills.
Get away from me. I can't take this any longer. I'm getting out of here while I still can. Where's the front door?
You gotta think straight. Stop. Where are you? You took a left? You took a right?
Get me out of here. Get me out of here!
Is it dope from the fly kid? The ice mic is back with the high bits. Suckers, you've lost the players, you're not gangsters, you ain't, you faint punk if you ever heard a gunshot. Yo, the pusher, the player, the pimp, gangster, the hustler, high roller, dead press folder. It's cold lamping like a black king on the throne. Evilly, turn up the microphone so I can ill and break on the rolling tape. Another album to make great. Islam turned the bass kick up a bit. Hype the snare, now I got a place to sit and ride the track like a black neck in his lack. Hit the corner slow where the girls are at and kick game the way it should be done. How you gonna drop science? You're dumb, stupid, ignorant. Don't even talk to me. In school you drop math, science, and history. And then you get on the mic and try to act smart. But let me tell you one thing, you got heart to perpetrate your bait. So just wait till the press shove a mic in your face. Or you meet Boogie Down or Chuck D, Stetsasonic, or the Big Daddy. And they ask you about the game you claim you got. Drop science now, why not? You start to sweat and fret, it gets hot. How'd you get into this spot? You played yourself. Yo, yo, you played yourself. I'm no authority, but I know the D-E-A-L when it comes to dealing with the females. What you got, they want. Cash is what they need. Slip, sucker, and they'll break you with speed. But you meet a freak, you try to turn her out. Spending money's what I'm talking about. But you fool out, your pockets got blew out. And after the date, no boots, you got threw out. Mad and shook, cause your ducats got took. Call her up, phone's off the hook. But who told you to front and flaunt your grip? You can't buy no relationship, you played yourself. Yo, homeboy, you played yourself. I'm in the MC game, a lot of MCs front, and for the money they sell out stunts. But they claim that they're rich and that they keep cash. Yo, let me straighten this out fast. 200,000 records sold, and these brothers start yelling about gold. You better double that, then double that again. And still don't get sued, my friend. You think you made it, you're just a lucky man. Guess who controls your destiny? Fans. But you diss them cause you think you're a star. That attitude is rude, you won't get far. Cause they're turning you quick, you drop like a brick. Unemployment's where you'll sit. No friends cause you dissed them too. No money, no crew, you're through. You played yourself. That's right, you played yourself. You played yourself. Yo, yo, you played yourself. You got problems, you claim you need a break. But every dollar you get, you take. Straight to the dope man, try to get a beam up. Your idle time is spent trying to scheme up another way to get money for a jumbo. When you go to sleep, you count five O's. Lying and cheating, everybody you're beating. Dirty clothes and you're skinny, cause you haven't been eating. You ripped off all your family and your friends. Nowhere does your larceny end. And then you get an idea for a big move. An armed robbery, smooth. But everything went wrong, somebody got shot. You couldn't get away, the cops roll your pop. And now you're locked, yo, lamping on death row. Society's fault? No. Nobody put the crack into the pipe. Nobody made you smoke off your life. You thought that you could do dope and still stay cool? Fool, you played yourself. You played yourself. Ain't nobody else's fault, you played yourself.